friends, and welcome back to yet another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
Who else are we accompanied by?
We are accompanied by my tiny baby angel dog, Peachy. So, as usual, she's just, like, chilling right now, but if you hear her scratching, barking,
Snuffling,
if you hear the little tick tick of little claws on floor, that's my girl, that's my babe.
We love you, Peachy. How are you, Alice Slater?
You know what, I'm doing good. I'm A-OK.
The boys are back together.
The boys are back. We're in a very sporadic pattern right now, just because, you know, life is interfering quite a lot.
But that's okay, because it's not, you know, we're not, like, doing a Patreon where people are paying for this. We're doing this out of the good of our health, for the benefit of all our lovely listeners. So, you know, obviously it'd be better if we could be more consistent, but given that we can't, I think people should just consider it a nice bonus.
It's
when
fun.
We do. Yeah,
it's like fun. A fun, cheeky little surprise.
Exactly.
You know, like, whatever.
So this is just a little kind of reading update.
Yeah, I'm just going to talk through what our years have been like so far. We're very aware that it's like nearly mid-November. I suppose by the time this drops, it will be mid-November. So we're approaching end of year lists and that kind of thing. So we just want to like talk about what we've been reading since we last recorded and in general what our reading has been like over the course of 2024.
How's your reading been?
It has been kind of all over the place. I think because I've been working so hard on book two and I've been working on another project, like an article that will hopefully come out next year. So I've had to do a huge amount of rereading, either reading stuff that's influencing book two or rereading work for this piece that I'm working on. And I've never reread so much stuff in 1 year. I counted the other day, I think out of 58 books, I've reread 12, which is pretty wild. That's only a quarter. How about you?
Yeah, it's been weird. I feel like I haven't done well, maybe because we haven't been doing poddy. I haven't been good at all about like keeping up with new releases. It's been weird. I've just been sort of reading on a whim basis.
I do like that though.
Yeah, I like it, but it just also means that I feel like I'm sort of out of the loop in some ways, so I've been trying to like, and I just have the, I don't know, it's just been a, it has not been a good year for me reading-wise. And so now I feel sort of conscious that there's just all these books that people, you know, are talking about or whatever that I keep being like, oh yeah, yeah, I want to read that. And then I just haven't read them. Or, yeah, I don't know whether my attention span has just been off this year. But yeah, I feel like I keep starting things and not finishing them. So I'm trying to be better at like, you know, prioritizing that. But I'm just finding that, as I'm sure is the case for many people, like, reading is a thing that takes time, and
it
it's
does.
Just not something that I have been good at allocating time to. It's been better in the last few weeks since I've started my Royal Literary Fund Fellowship, because I have had a commute, and I think that does really help in terms of like dedicated reading time. But if I don't have that, I've really been relying a lot on audiobooks, which I had also been neglecting for like months and months. I hadn't listened to anything on Audible. I became a real like podcast fiend, and just, yeah, I don't know. It feels like my consumption of, you know, books in all spheres has been really down this year.
You know what though? I don't think that my reading ever really recovered from lockdown. Like that pre-2020, I very effortlessly would read 100 books a year. Oh, I never quite made it over the cusp of 100, but that was always my goal, and I'd always hit somewhere in the 90s, because I was commuting 5 days a week.
Exactly.
And now, post-2020, I work in an office 2 days a week, and I do tend to socialise mostly in my local area. I have, like, my best pal lives nearby, my family are nearby, and I just found that losing that guaranteed 10 hours a week of commuting, dropping from 5 days a week where I'm traveling to just 2. Yeah, like, suddenly I actually do have to be very, like,
strategic.
Yes, and, like, I have to actually put the time aside. I have to be very intentional about my reading. And I've definitely found rereading all these books where I have to reread them all. I have to read them by a deadline. And I know that I'm going to like them. I know the books that I've enjoyed. It's still funny how, like, I've had to sit today this morning. I know I've got 2 hours left of my reread of Butter. And I was like, that's a long time to just sit on your sofa and read.
Yeah, without playing on your phone, without, like, getting distracted and doing something else.
And, of course, I'm constantly distracted because, you know, that's the way of the world. But I think, you know, we're in November and I'm on like, the high 50s. So it's not, like, I'm doing fine. You know, like, I think that's...
By any normal metric, like, that's a lot of books. You know, if you ask any random person how much they're reading. But obviously, if you're comparing it to, like, not only your former self pre-pandemic, but also, like, you know, you follow a lot of, like, Bookstagram accounts and, like, a certain amount of gamification of reading. But, yeah, I mean, if we take for granted that reading is a hobby, like, I spend a lot of time exercising and I spend a lot of time crocheting. And, like, those are things that, you know, they in some ways replace the time that you could spend reading. And so I think it's been partly accepting that that is the case, but also thinking about, like, the time that I do waste rather than time that I spend actively doing something else and the ways in which I could replace that time wasting with reading, which is a thing that I like to do.
I think also, like, you just mentioned Bookstagram, and I think the other thing that's affected what I've read this year has been my shift from being a bookseller to someone who was really just reading and sharing what they love via podcasting and on the internet to author, and that now I'm kind of reading books much earlier in that book's life cycle. So, like, you know, I'm often being sent bound proofs. So that's, like, a proof before it's had any kind of cover, like, it's just a bound manuscript. You can't really share them. Sometimes the books haven't been announced. I always check if I'm okay if I do share it. I always have to, like, double check that I can. But, like, they're not as interesting to look at. Like, usually you're looking at, the book could be 9 months away from publication. So it's useless to the average reader. They're going to completely forget. And that's definitely affected, I think, like, how much pressure I feel to read proofs. I feel like it's such an honour to give blurbs, but that's now what my role is in the ecosystem. So I'm kind of less worried about keeping up with stuff that's already out.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm just I'm sitting in a different... My reading is sitting in a different place. I think that's also why the podcast has been a bit more difficult to do, because we're just reading...
Vibes.
It's such a different way, yeah.
I agree. But just it's just been kind of frustrating this year, like, seeing all these books and being like, I know I'm going to love that, and then so just not reading it.
I want to hear some titles. What books have you not read yet that you keep seeing being hyped up? Or
I'm kind of catching up with stuff now. So, you know, the one book that I was like, I know when I read this, it's going to change my life, and it did, was All Fours by Miranda July.
Oh my God, yes.
But I don't know why that book was out for so long before I was like, read it. Like, just fucking read it. I haven't read the new Sally Rooney, which I will.
Because that's the thing, we were going to do an intermezzo episode, but then, to be honest, because I was really interested in, there's been some really great articles about the campaign and about the hype, and but then I was just like, I don't want to be another fucking voice talking about a book that they haven't read yet. Like, we did an episode about the Beautiful World Roy campaign that was really fun to do, but then we never actually then recorded our thoughts on the book itself. Or maybe we did. Maybe we touched upon it. We never did a full episode. And yet I just haven't found the time to read it yet. Even though I'm excited about it, I like Sally Rooney. Just haven't found the time, man.
Yeah, and like, I really want to read James by Percival Everett. But I've decided that I will, that will be my next audiobook. So, you know, it's just, I'm literally having to like write a list on my phone of things that I'm like, prioritize this. Like, don't read random shit on your Kindle. Like, find a way to get this and either read it with your eyeballs or read it with your ear holes. But I am finding audiobooks because I walk a lot. And so then to use that time that would otherwise be spent listening to like a random podcast, which I also love, like I'm a big podcast fiend, but trying to be more strategic about how I spend my time and what books I read, what books I choose to read, and just, you know, realizing that the time is slipping away, man, and like it will get to a point where the books that I am like, you got to read them will be replaced by new books that I got to read.
100%.
It will never stop.
It never does.
It literally never stops. I felt kind of like bad in like a nebulous way about my reading this year, even though I'm kind of reading a normal amount of books for me. But yeah, it's been interesting. You read anything fun recently that you'd like to tell me about?
Yeah, so I've had like a real kind of funny month and a half where I've had some months where I've maybe only read two books, which for me is a very low amount. But then I went on a little holiday with my husband in October, and since that trip, I smashed through like maybe 10 proofs, including, well, so I've reread one thing. I reread A Certain Hunger by Chelsea G. Summers, which I'm a big fan of rereading. And I actually feel like sometimes the pressure to keep up with the industry means I don't reread enough. And it's wild, like rereading A Certain Hunger, I only read that for the first time, I think, when it kind of really popped off on TikTok a couple of years ago. And rereading it, 100% still solid. Absolutely love it. I think she's such an incredible writer. It's such a fresh and original book. And I've just had a really great time in it. But then newer stuff I've read. Have you heard of I Make My Own Fun by Hannah Beer?
I have.
Oh my god, mate, it is so good.
Okay, I'm hyped. That's one I'm hyped to read, because she's a fellow short hair icon.
She is!
Which I think is very chic. And isn't she also from West Kirby?
I believe so,
well, then, like, double chic. I really like her, so I'm looking forward to reading that book.
So I Make My Own Fun is out next year, and it's about a kind of Hollywood A-lister who is, like, top of her game. Like, imagine Taylor Swift levels of fame. And she is used to getting everything and anything that she wants. She kind of plays with people for fun. She goes to, like, this bar, meets this bartender who she immediately is very attracted to, and this woman just is not that bothered, just is not that blown away by her fame. So it's this whole story of this woman getting increasingly more deluded and unhinged and doing bizarre things to, like, get this woman's attention. It is so fun. I smashed through it. It's just an absolute banger. And I feel like, I hope that it will be massive. I can't wait to see it.
It sounds like a book for the pod. Like,
very much
so. It seems like a book that will appeal to the girlies, gender neutral, that listen to the pod.
Yeah. So I really love that. And then another one that I read that I really loved was Pig by Mathilde Pratessi.
I'm familiar with this, but tell me more.
So this one, it's about a bookseller who has a kind of, I'd say it's not on the page, but she's giving autistic vibes.
Mm-hmm.
So her special interest is pigs and, like, contemporary agriculture. She has this, like, super toxic roommate that they've known since they were very young. And the whole story is kind of about her, this bookseller, trying to kind of break free and do her own thing. And it kind of jumps back and forth between where they are now and kind of how they've ended up in this situation. It is so good. It definitely has more, oh god, like, more heart. Like, it's really about, like, the toxicity of control and, like, oh, but it's just fantastic.
Is it in translation?
No, I think it was written in English.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And who is it published by?
I can't remember.
I feel like I'm not really familiar with this at all. I know I said I was, but I'm not. I lied.
This is the cover. It's like,
I don't think I've ever seen that before in my life. But I like
it's
it.
It's out next year.
Show me the cover again.
Heard it from me first. Hang on, let me pull it up.
Oh, look, it's a acid green and bright pink cover.
She's got some, there's a wink.
Yep.
In fact, the publicist who, oh my god, I can't remember if it was the publicist or the editor. The person from the publishing house that reached out to me was like, superficially, some of it sounds quite similar to Death of a Bookseller, but the fact that it's in a bookshop is kind of really all it is, which is totally true. The books aren't similar at all. But I really enjoyed being in someone else's version of a fictional bookshop.
It sounds good. I'm in.
Loved it so much. So those were my two, like, and I read them both over one weekend.
Mm.
Just.
Yeah, because I feel like something that has also impacted my reading feelings this year is the fact that, like, I didn't have the kind of holiday where you would be, like, chilling and reading books. I have not had a holiday of that ilk this year, whereas in the past few years I have. Did you find that, like, going to Crete and then going to for a romantic weekend with the love of your life?
And your husband.
did you find that they were, like, you smashed through quite a lot there?
In Crete, yes. I think I smashed through a book a day.
Mm.
That's
the dream. Like, that's what a poolside holiday is for.
And truly, because I do love reading books quickly as well. I think, like, I do tend to find that the longer it takes me to read a book, the less I actually absorb.
I kind of
forget bits and bobs, you know? Like, I'm kind of,
yeah,
I'm not so, I prefer to read quickly and densely. So yeah, I was reading about a book a day and a half. That was great. On the cozy holiday, actually all the books I'm talking about now, I've read since getting back from that.
Interesting.
On that trip, I was writing. So I did read a little bit. I think I read some of the new Nigel Slater, A Thousand Feasts, which is just incredible. I was reflecting the other day on what an amazing writer he is.
You would say that. Nepo baby.
No relation.
Literally no relation. Just in case that people do not know about this.
No, I found out. I used to say as a joke that he was my dad. And every Father's Day, I would wish him a happy Father's Day on the internet. And I forget that, of course, not everyone. Some people will just see that and take it as truth. So I realise that some people believe that Nigel Slater is my father. And he's not. My dad was a completely different man.
Who, for the record, not Nigel Slater.
Was not and never will be Nigel Slater.
Yeah.
But, Nigel, my dad did pass away, so if you're looking, I'm looking for a father figure.
If you're looking to adopt an adult woman child with dog.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you can get my number through Father's Day. I'm sure you know what I mean.
Literally, like, how hard can it be? Like, yeah. It's fine.
They know me there.
So you read some Nigel, Not Your Dad.
So yeah, I read some of Nigel No Relation Slater's new book, which I just thought was wonderful. And yeah, then I just like dipped around, I read some short stories. But again, I found because I was working so hard, my brain just wouldn't settle on anything. Mm. So we came back from that trip, I handed in the draft I was working on Halloween. And so since then, in like the however many days it's been since Halloween, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks, I've completely smashed through loads of fucking books because
you have more space.
My brain is free. And also I'm working on this project, I've done some events, so I've had to like... I've just been, like, on it in a more professional rather than leisurely way.
Yeah, I feel like it is that sense of urgency. Like, you know, if I was chairing an event, I would read the book. Mm. It's just, if I'm not chairing an event, or if I'm not, you know, you chairing an event, writing an article, like, recording a podcast episode, it's those things that are, like, giving you the drive to do, to spend the time that you do have to read the book, whereas, like... Without those drives, it's easy to fill that same time with something else that is either, like, a thing you want to be doing or just, like, time-wasting on your phone.
Yeah, God. I'm so bad at time-wasting on my phone. I've actually started to, like, remove certain social media apps from my life again. Like, I've deleted my Twitter app. Also, have you ever been on Threads?
I sort of look at it sometimes. Awful. But it's all just, like, clickbait. Awful. Yeah. It's all, like, rage bait. And it's not always from people that I know. It's, like, random people.
So you can select it to view just the post by who you're following. But, God, I mean, the book community on there, I've really struggled. I have really struggled to find...
Your people.
Yeah, people who are talking about books in with any sense of, like, normality.
It's whenever I go on Threads and I see book stuff, it's, like... People airing grievances against, like, a random self-pubbed author that they had beef with over some slight... I don't know, it's crazy, and it's, like, a side of book world that we just don't engage... Like, they're and not like, us, that's not, like, the book world.
And it feels quite, like, a strange place to be in as well, because I think it is so... the self-publishing community is very well represented there, and they have some very strong opinions. And, like, I don't want to accidentally get tangled in... to some, like, beef over self versus trad publishing. But also, it is a land of lies.
Yes.
It's just a land of lies. Like, people are just very confidently talking about the industry completely incorrectly. And with the caveat that, obviously, every writer has a different experience, every publishing house is different, like, you will find that one question will receive different answers depending on who you're talking to. But people are just lying. Or like, their understanding of the industry has been so twisted by... bad experience or cynicism that, like, I actively think it's a bad place to be if you want to be working in the industry or you want to be a writer, because the misinformation
is unhelpful
and rife. Yeah. So I fucked that off. I can't be bothered.
No more threads.
No more threads. No more Twitter. I still have my Twitter account, but she's dormant. Yeah.
A tactic that I did find, like, when I have been, like, deep in, like, time wasting at a time where it was, like, very unproductive for me, a thing that I really found useful was moving at time wasting apps like Instagram to a different page on my phone. Because, you know, like, you know when you open your phone that you just move your thumb in this one certain way, and that will take you to the thing that gives you the dopamine hit. So replacing that app with my Kindle app, so that if I had time that I could be wasting, I would be wasting it more productively.
I remember you telling me you did that. It's very smart.
And it's like, you know, it sounds like a annoying life hack, but I just think the more stuff that you can do to discourage yourself from doing the things that you don't want to be doing, and encouraging yourself to be doing the things that you do want to be doing, harmless, you know. But yeah, it'd be like that.
Yeah, it'd be like that. And sometimes, you know, I think that it's also quite nice to give yourself permission to read without the goal of finishing things. Like, dipping back into rereading, like, a favourite short story from... Can you hear that? That was my entire body.
I could hear it, but I just thought on the pod it would sound like a passing tube. A train on the track.
No, that was my entire body vibrating with hunger. Anyway... What was I saying?
Reading things without the pressure of finishing.
Oh, yeah. So I also think that there's a lot of value in reading without the goal of finishing the thing. So, like, rereading just one short story from a collection, rereading the opening chapter of something that you know is particularly punchy, dipping in, or with proofs, like, just reading the first couple of pages of, like, five. And sometimes you can kind of tell immediately if something is definitely not going to be in a writing style that you're going to vibe with. And although, yes, obviously there's value in sometimes pushing through that initial, like, hesitation, you know, and like just seeing if you end up vibing with a different element of a book, it's quite nice to do that as well. Just reading for the sake of being in that headspace rather than reading as a gamified thing in which you have to complete each level, you know, each book.
Or the fact that like not finishing stuff is fine. Like, it is morally neutral. It's not like just because you read the first page of a book, you are like morally obliged to read it to the end. Like, life is short, you know, there's gonna be a book that you do want to read.
Yeah.
And it's probably not that far away.
I've never given a fuck about DNFing.
Yeah, no.
I will kick something to the curb as soon as look at it.
Yeah, I'm listening to a book on audio at the moment that I don't particularly like the audio version of it, but I am sticking to it because I know that if I was reading it with my eyeballs, I would not DNF it. It's just that I don't like the person that's reading the book.
Ooh.
So for that reason, I have stuck with it. But I actually am way less likely to abandon an audiobook than I am an eyeball book.
Interesting.
Who knows why. But yeah, no, I have no problem abandoning books. And nor should anyone.
With audio, I actually abandon them accidentally all the time because I just forget that I was listening to
them. I had like so many credits built up this year because I just wasn't in the audiobook headspace. But now
I've also just never been someone, and I still am not someone, who can do fiction via audio if I haven't read the book before. I think, like, I'm just too prone to zoning out. And with non-fiction, it doesn't matter, because you just zone back in again and you miss something, it's fine. Whereas with fiction, I can end up feeling very lost, like, very easily.
Yes, I have had that with audiobooks, and especially when I have, like, started listening to something, taken a few weeks off and then gone back. You know, we all know what happened to me with Wolf Hall. It's too late for me.
Yeah.
I listened to 8 hours, did something else, can't go back.
And 8 hours is too much to reread.
But I'm sure in my life I will. I will do Wolf Hall in my lifetime, but I do not have a sense of urgency around
it. I feel like with books like Wolf Hall, I sort of feel the same way I do about classics, where with classics, we've grown up knowing what they are. They've always been there, right? So every now and again, like, the spirit will move you, and you'll be like, I suddenly feel like now is the time for me to read Dracula, or now is the time for me to read Pride and Prejudice. And it just, the stars align and you're in the right headspace to give it a go. And I feel that way about Wolf Hall.
Yeah.
That one day in my long life, I'll be like, the winds will change, and I'll be like, now is the time. I really want to get down with Cromwell, or whatever the fuck it's about. Cromwell? Yeah.
Yeah, I
even saying those words, every inch of me is like, probably
not gonna happen. But you know, I feel like that is like a modern, it functions as a classic.
Yeah,
I think. But yeah, I feel like I thought that I was gonna be like, Alice, I've had a weird reading year, and you'd be like, that's crazy. Here are all the books I've read. But, you know, it's kind of reassuring to know that you have also had a weird reading year.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, well, like, I do have more. I got my whole little list here of other stuff that I've read and enjoyed. But again, I feel like, you know, so many of them aren't out till next year. So, like, I read No and Other Love Stories by Kirsty Logan. I think she's an incredible writer. This is a banging collection. I've read Carrion Crow by Heather Parry. Also, I will say, though, man, I absolutely love Heather and I loved this book, but it is so gross.
Yes, I'm hearing this from many sources.
Oh my god, it is so gross. It was genuinely touch and go as to whether I'd get through it, but like by the end of my self-imposed deadline to finish it in time to blab it, I was just like, she really writes about the body in such a unique, visceral way. It just cuts right through, right to the gag reflex. But I really loved it. I'm really glad that I did manage to like persevere without actually vomiting as well. Like, I was trying to explain one bit to my husband. Like, I just couldn't get the words out without gagging.
It's like, you're not a baby. Like, you are a hardened reader. You've read some effed up S.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've read some effed up S for
many years.
For D, sure.
Yeah.
No, I think, like, she just really was writing specifically about something that really grosses me out.
Mm.
And the premise of the book, by the way, is a woman is locked in her attic by her mother. That's kind of all you really need to know. And then we go between what the events that led to her being locked up in the attic, and then also the events that led to the mother becoming the person she is by the beginning of the book. And it's just really, and it's set in Victorian London, so it's like very kind of bleak and very dark. And it's just a very clever book based on like a very kind of limited premise.
Idea, yeah.
You know? Because the whole thing kind of unfolds in this one room. It's just really gross.
I love it already.
Yeah, but I think Heather, she definitely, it's a novel where that was the goal,
yeah.
I think. You know, to like really explore the... I'm really trying not to say any of the words that would make me gag, because I'm very aware that people might be eating while listening to this, but just trust me, it's a good time.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that. I will probably read it at some point.
And then the only other one that I think is worth discussing in this chat is I read a book called Cuckoo by Callie Kazumi. Have you heard of that?
I have not.
So Callie was the brain behind the marketing for Death of a Bookseller.
Well, I was wondering if it was the same Callie.
So I was really excited. It's her debut thriller. It's being published in the US as Claire Darling. And it's about, it's just like, I feel like for a while, you know, we've been like the golden age of psychological thriller, right? And it's been a while since I've read a book that like sits in that space as like genuinely quite surprising,
yeah,
really well written, zips along, and like it just ticked all those boxes. So it's about a woman who turns up at her husband's place of work to surprise him with lunch, only to find that he's not worked there for like months.
Mm.
And that's kind of like the setup. But it also, it's kind of about, like, it's about having an abusive, narcissistic parent. It's about the ways in which our past can fuck with our present. And it's just, it's such a fun, and fun feels like not necessarily the best word to use, but it is just like a fun, zippy thriller that I can't wait to see pop off.
It sounds great and very up our street.
Yeah, I recommend it, babe.
But yeah, I know what you mean about the kind of golden age of psychological thriller, and it does feel like those days are maybe over. All the ideas have kind of been done. So if you're going to redo ideas that have been done before, it needs to have, like, a zingy execution.
I think it's just interesting as well, like, how the market turns. Because those books are still being written. Like, crime is still huge. But it's definitely not the thing that is getting, like, the most attention on the internet these days. Like, romanticy seems to be
God,
there.
Oh, God, don't. Yeah, I mean, whatever, like...
A whole realm that I know nothing about, you know? Yeah, it's funny. Whereas, like, 2016, it was all about the thriller.
It was all about the thriller. And there's a thriller that, if someone said to me, like, can you recommend me a thriller, back in those days, I'd have cited this one specific book, because I know that it didn't pop off in the way that I thought it would. And it has since recently been released as a TV series, but on Apple, is that what it's called? Apple?
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, like, the Apple streaming service.
Apple TV?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't sound as good as the book, which is Disclaimer by Renee Knight. Do you
that
remember this?
That was such a good book.
It was a phenomenal book.
Yeah.
Partly because of, like, the way... I don't remember it super well, because I read it maybe, like, 8 years ago. But the way that information is sort of revealed to you throughout the book... Whereas, like, I'm just so over TV operating on too many timelines and spoon-feeding you so much of, like, people's backstories, people's motives. And it's, like, trust yourself to be able to, like, do narrative in a way that is, like, smart.
Like, one character, one timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the book just does it so perfectly. So it's like, don't show me these people that I don't even know exist at the beginning of the book doing their stuff. Like, leave something for me to discover be delighted by. Which I think is why I'm enjoying Rivals so much on the TV, because it's so fun to watch something that is just, like, narratively propulsive, one timeline, seems to be about something completely different. You know, like, how everything is about, like, grief and trauma now? Like, all TV is about grief and trauma. Not Rivals. Rivals is about boning.
Yay!
So, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like every time I watch something that is, like, an adaptation of a book that for some reason, like, does a kind of multiple POV, multiple timeline thing for reasons that I don't understand, I'm like, please no.
Yeah, and I do remember you, I think, you probably didn't tweet it because you've been off Twitter a long time. I remember you saying somewhere on some platform about, like, the desire for straight, like, narratives, just single, one POV, one character. And I was thinking that, like, some of the best books are just all isolated to one point of view, one story, and things happen to that character and they have to make choices that pushes the narrative forward. They are so hard to write.
They are really hard to write. Yeah. And I actually don't have so much of a problem with multiple POVs. And I don't have as much of a problem with this in book form. It's almost exclusively TV, because I feel like TV is just, yeah. I think it's easier to do interior narrative, like, sort of have memories and whatever in fiction in the present day, whereas in film or in TV you kind of have to do a flashback if you're not going to be, like, a good storyteller. So this is my TV gripe on a books podcast. So now that I've aired my grievance, do you have anything else that you would like to add?
Yeah, fuck it. I watched The Substance last night and I hated it. And I just wanted to put that on record.
Okay.
Hated it.
I'm, like, lukewarm on The Substance.
I can't wait to go in deeper.
Off the record.
Off the record. Only because it's tedious for our listeners. But again, it was another thing that got me thinking about, like, the exploring the beauty industry has been a big moment in books this year. Mm. And I've got so many that I've written down that I really like the look of. That was particularly books that have that kind of dystopian edge to them. But yeah, I just haven't managed to get to any of them. So I feel like there is this whole moment happening in fiction that I'm just completely missing out on.
I would say if you didn't like The Substance but are interested in the things, ideas that it is exploring, I think a better version of The Substance that got a lot less attention is A Different Man.
You're the third person to recommend it to me.
It's so good. Yeah, and so much more, like, surprising and, like, inscrutable. Whereas with The Substance, you were like, of course that's what happens next. Of course that bit. Of course, of course, of course.
Yeah.
And it was whether you liked that, being on that ride or not. Whereas, like, you could not predict most of the turns in A Different Man. And I thought it was so, it really literally made you think.
I can't wait.
Not a horror film, but a very good film. Not all films can be horrors.
Ah,
they should.
Nah, I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
On that note, shall we see you next time?
Let's see you next time.
Bye! Bye.